If you have your Bibles with you, if you could please turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. You got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. If you're not familiar with this book, I would encourage you to spend time in reading it. It's only 12 chapters. Won't take you long to read through it. And I think you'll find that what Solomon wrote 3,000 years ago in Ecclesiastes is just as relevant now as what it was when he wrote it. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. I'll give you a couple of minutes to find your spot. If you don't have a Bible, I would encourage you to bring one. We do have Bibles there on the back table if you'd like to get one. They're free for anybody who needs one. Okay, so we'll get started. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning. Amen. Please be seated. I will have Dwayne come up to deliver our message this morning. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad that you are here today. And I don't know about you, man, but I really like that second song. In fact, I think I may have lost my voice singing that song. But it's good, and I hope you've enjoyed the music here today. And as we come today and we celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us, we are going to continue on with our series here, Make It Count. Make It Count. And we are coming to the end of this series, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you, and I hope that you've had the opportunity to make your life count, because we only have one life to live, and we certainly want to make it count. And today is our last message on the series, Make It Count. Over the past few weeks, we've explored a variety of topics, including work, rest, faith, prayer, and last week we talked about money. Well, today we're going to turn to our final topic, which is time. Time, and if you follow the biblical principles we've examined in each of these areas, you will indeed make your life count, both now and eternity. But for now, we are going to talk about making your time count. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, just how practical it is. And how we can open up the Bible and we can study it, Lord. And we can discover what it is we are to do in this life. And how we are to live. And how we can glorify you in the lives that we have. The lives that you've given to us. And so, Lord, as we have a look at this topic of time, I pray that we would be willing to use our time, Lord, for your glory, for your honor, and, Lord, that we could make the best of the time that we have here. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Time is an interesting concept. Before God created the heavens and the earth, there was no time. Time didn't exist. Think about that for just a moment. If you can wrap your head around that, there was a time when time didn't exist. It was created by God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it is described as in the beginning, which marks our beginning of mankind, but also the beginning of time. God, on the other hand, is eternal, and therefore, as the creator of time, he is outside of time. And this is one of the reasons why I don't have an issue with predestination and election and men having to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, because God is outside of time. So the moment that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, God was there. And He was there before the foundation of the earth at that same moment. And so He lives outside of time. He's not restricted by time. He is in the past, the present, and the future, all at the same time. We have a word for that. What's it called? Come on, class. Omnipresent. Very good. Omnipresent. He is present everywhere, all time. So he's not restricted by time. And yet God entered into time when Jesus Christ took on human flesh and was born into our world as a baby. We like to think of that we can sort of master time. We even have these atomic clocks that we use today in order to measure time precisely down to the nanosecond. But we really don't understand time. There are times when time seems to pass quickly, and there are other times when the clock seems to stand still, and usually that's the day before you go on holiday, right? And you're at work, it's like, come on, let's go. Doesn't want to move very fast. There are times when you are acutely aware of time, such as when you're working on a project with a deadline. And you're racing against the clock, you're fighting against time, you've only got a few more moments on the clock before this presentation has to be done, and you're fighting a battle there. Or maybe if you're traveling, you have to sort of have connecting flights. That's my problem. Is that, you're on the usually on the back of the plane, and it's running late, and you're looking at the watch, and you're seeing all these people in front of you having to go and grab their luggage and come down, and somebody needs help, and you're like, come on, people, don't you know what time it is? We got to move, got to go. We're fighting the clock. And then there are times, those wonderful times, when we can sort of take off our watches, put our phones over to the side, enjoy a day of leisure and rest, and we hardly even notice the passing of time at all. Benjamin Franklin wrote, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for time is the stuff life is made of." And so today I want us to examine three biblical principles here that will help you manage time here this morning and manage it effectively and to make the most of it. And when you make your time count, you can make your life count, because time is the stuff of life, what life is made of. And when your time stops here on earth, well, then life stops here on earth as well. And so we want to make the best of our time. We only have one life to live. And so our first point today, if you're taking notes, and by the way, you can get these notes online, or you can download the app as well, and those notes are there if you wish. But if you're taking notes today, number one, your days are numbered, so number your days. Your days are numbered, so number your days. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, there's only so many hours in a day. There are only so many hours in a day. Look at the words of Psalm here. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, it says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." What's the purpose of numbering our days? So that we can gain a heart of wisdom. Time is limited. There are so many hours, there's only so many hours in a day. And this is the first part, but there are only also so many days of your life as well. Time is limited resources. So all the limited resources that we have today, listen, you need to treat this time with care if you're going to make your time count. One of the things that some of our guys are doing is they're getting online with the WhatsApp and things like that, and they're saying, "Hey, we're going for coffee. Let's go for a coffee. Anybody want to come?" And so that happened this week. We had some guys, and we just got together for a cup of coffee, and I was talking to one of the guys, and we were talking about blockchain, and we're talking about cryptocurrency and investments. And one of the things he mentioned to me, he says, it's kind of like, you know, whenever you have an investment, there's only a certain limited amount. And so, of course, when you have a limited number, once those things are starting to be bought out, of course, then demand rises, and of course, the price goes up with that as well. And he says, now, it's only software restricted, and so somebody can get in there and actually change it and then sort of, you know, put the market out there, and of course the prices would drop, much like we sometimes do with our money. Whenever we need more money, then we just go and print more money, right? But then, of course, the value goes down when we do that. But we can't really do that with time, can we? I mean, I can't go and sit there and say, oh, man, I'm not ready to preach yet. And boy, I could use another 3 hours. And I go to a vending time machine and say, hey, listen, I need another 3 hours and pop it in, and then I can have another 3 hours to work. We can't do that. It's a limited resources. We have to manage the time that we've been given. Last time I checked, there was only 24 hours a day. And this is by God's design. When God created the world, He created the sun, the sun, and the earth, the moon, the stars, and He created the earth to spin as it revolves around the sun. And very early on, we as humans, we learned the movements of the sun across the sky in order to measure time throughout the day. We have 24 hours each day to work, to sleep, to rest, to play, to worship, to pray, to take care of business, to enjoy family and friends, to pursue our personal projects. What is fascinating to consider is that each of us get the same amount of time each day. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter what continent you live on, whether you live in the city or whether you live in the country. Each person on planet Earth gets the same exact amount of time each day. It's what we do with our time that makes a difference. It's amazing that two different people can make such different use of the same amount of time. Ben Franklin said, lost time is never found again, and oh, that's so true. Once that time is gone, you can't get it back. With all of our technological advancements today, we have yet to figure out how we can time travel, or we can stretch out our time. There are only so many hours in a day, and that's the half of the equation. The next is there is only so many days in your life. There's only so many days in your life. Psalms 139:16 puts it this way. It says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Notice that. And this is a part I find very interesting. And in your book, they all were written. What was written? The days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Before you were even born, God's got a book, and He's got your days written in them. There's also so many days in your life. Each of us only get a certain amount of time on earth, and that time is ordained by God. Some of us live long, healthy lives, while others, we feel like their lives are cut short, at least from a human perspective. I've been following the tragedy that has taken place over in Texas. Many of you probably are familiar with that, and I know our prayer team has been praying about that. If you haven't been aware of it, they've had some flash floods that caused the Guadalupe River to rise 26 feet, that's about 8 meters, within 45 minutes. Along with that riverbank, there are some campgrounds, and there are especially some Christian campgrounds there. That were packed with children for the holiday. Because of the flooding occurred early in the morning, many were caught unaware and they perished. At the time of this writing, the last report I received, there was over 100 that had perished, and at least 30 of them were children. And there were another 161 that were missing. And I think Valerie mentioned this morning that now I think it's risen up to 150-something now that have passed away. The reason why I'm sharing this with you is because, of course, we want to pray for our neighbors across the pond there, and we want to pray for those in Texas, and especially right now, because of the fact that it's got a Christian connotation to it, and there were Christian kids there and in a Christian camp there, and some have taken the opportunity to like, see, look, God doesn't love you, and they've taken the time to mock Christians as a result of that, and so they really need our prayers. However, it's also crucial for us to understand that we're not promised tomorrow. There's no guarantee for tomorrow. We are one heartbeat away from eternity. If God gives you 70 years, think about it, it's about 26,000 days. And when we think about that, we're like, you know what, that's a lot of days. And that may seem like a lot of days, but compared to eternity, it's only a breath. It's only a drop in the bucket. The Bible teaches you to view your life as brief and quickly passing. Notice what David wrote in Psalm 39, verse 4. It says, "The Lord, make me to know my end. Lord, make me to know my end." You have an end, at least in this life. And what measure and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? When we were young, we lived life like we were invincible. Man, nothing can happen to us. We lived life like we had forever, for eternity. We had all the time in the world. I mean, I was a horrible procrastination. You know, I would always, if I could put it off, I put it off. You know, wait at the last minute to do everything. Which explains some of the foolish things that I did. If you're thinking you're going to be lasting forever, and you think that you're not going to die, then sometimes we end up doing some foolish things. And by God's grace, I'm standing alive, standing before you here today. My stupidity should have gotten me killed, if I'm going to be honest. A number of years ago, there was a company called Ticker. Don't know if you've heard of it or not. It's called Ticker. And they created what they call a death countdown watch. You fill out your questionnaire to determine your life expectancy. You enter the number into your watch. And then, along with the time of day, you also get a running countdown of how many years, months, days, hours, minutes, and seconds you have left to live. Think about that. Oh no, 30 minutes left. What can I do, you know? Well, the truth of the matter is, you may only have 30 minutes left. So what you would have done in that 30 minutes, maybe you should be doing today. Because we're not promised tomorrow. Now, that would be an excellent gift to get somebody for their birthday, right? Glad you had another year of life. Let's have a look. Let's see how many more you got left. Oh, yeah, you better make sure you make this a good one. I went to the website to find out more because inquiring minds want to know. And according to my watch, I've got how many? No, just kidding. I didn't go and buy one of those things. But here's what the website says. Through a simple calculation and questionnaire, you can determine an estimate of your life expectancy or when death may occur. I want to see how they promoted this. How do they sell this thing? What do they say to get people to buy this? This number then is entered into the ticker watch, and so begins the countdown of your estimated life expectancy. The purpose is to remind you that time is your most valuable asset, and to waste it is to waste your life. Utilize this finite asset in the best possible way, whether it is finding a new job, exercising, adopting a healthier diet, losing weight, reducing stress, or whatever you want to change in your life. Do not regret not doing those things you should have done or things you should be doing. You may have a great gene. You may have great genes and have healthy habits, experience your dreams, and live a long, long life. Unfortunately, your life may also be cut short due to an unfortunate accident, which I'm kind of figuring out how they know what the unfortunate accident is, or a rare disease that no amount of money or a highly trained physician can cure. Being cautious about life can be good. As long as that caution doesn't prevent you from exercising the wonderful things life has to offer. We must remember that it's called life expectancy and not death expectancy. At Ticker, we believe a fulfilling life is about taking chances, setting goals, leading a healthier lifestyle, and seeing what the world has to offer. We want to encourage you to lead a life you never thought possible. Get the Ticker, quote, death, end quote, watch today, and start living your life. How do you like that spin? If you're interested in purchasing one of these watches, we'll be selling them in the back room there. And there is no refunds, because if you die before your time runs out, then sorry, you just lose your money. Here's what the small print says. The Ticker Death Watch is for entertainment purposes only, and is not intended as a medical device or an instrument to predict when you may die. Please consult your doctor prior to modifying your diet and exercise your regimen. You know how that goes. So in other words, your death watch is really not a death watch. I don't think God wants you to be morbidly walking around with a death countdown wristwatch on your wrist. God ultimately determines how long you live anyway. But he does want us to number our days. He wants us to number our days correctly, that you may gain a heart of wisdom, it says. Knowing that your time on earth is limited will help you make those wise decisions concerning the time that you have left here on this earth. We are to value each day and use it wisely rather than taking life for granted. The choices we make during our brief stay on earth have eternal consequences. Let's live it wisely. And so the first step in making your time count, ironically enough, is counting your time. Your days are numbered, so number your days. Number your days correctly so that you can gain the heart of wisdom, he says. We want to live life understanding that it's a limited time. We don't want to live life foolishness. But also, secondly, if you're taking notes, there's a time for everything. So manage your time well. There's a time for everything, so manage your time well. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a season, a time for everything. And as we go and read the scriptures, we get a bit more understanding of that because the first thing we find out in Matthew is that we are to seek God's kingdom first. We're to seek the things of God first. If we want to be a good manager of our time, then we need to seek the things of God first. Matthew 6:33 tells us, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He goes and gives a list of all the things that we need in life and all the things that we desire in life. And he says, you know what? The first thing you need to do is you need to seek God first, and then those things will be added to you, he says. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot. And Clayton went through the whole poem there. It's a beautiful poem. And it's a beautiful thing to remember that right there, at the right time, at the right place, at the right season, there's a time for everything. You just need to have the wisdom to match the right activities with the right time. Here, Matthew is addressing the Jews of his time. The church is still a mystery, and Jesus is focusing on the lost sheep of Israel here, and he is exhorting them to seek the things of God first. Now, some people spend their whole lives climbing the ladder of success, only to get to the top and discover the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. They've messed up. And so later in life, we see them making career changes. Let me encourage you here this morning, you need to make God's priorities your priorities. Ensure that the task that is on your calendar align with God's overall purpose for your life. Are you loving God and serving others? Are you working hard to provide for your family? Are you getting adequate rest and adequate exercise? Do you make personal time each day for the Word of God and prayer? Do you worship regularly with your church family on a weekly basis? Make the things of God a priority in your life. But also find God's balance in your time as well. And this is the hard one. This is the tough one. It's also important for you to find God's balance in your time. We need to be careful that we do not impart our cultural values of time into this whole idea of managing our time. In the Western world, we tend to view time management mainly in terms of productivity. How can we squeeze the most out of each hour? And there are times when productivity is the right goal for the task before us. But other cultures remind us that there are other values attached to time. For many cultures, the most important value of time is not productivity-oriented, but it's relational. It's not about how much you got done, but rather how much time did you spend with other people while you were getting it done. And this completely changes the way that people look at time. I was talking to a missionary a while back, and this is one thing that really drove him crazy on the mission field. Growing up in the States, we had a set time that we start church. And when that time happened, we started church at that time. Much like we do here in Australia, or at least we try to do. But on this mission field, the church may start at 10, but the services may not begin until the people show up. And they were like, well, why would you start church before the people got there? That's their mentality. And so this drove him crazy. He had to struggle with that. There had to be a balance. Now, for the record, we don't live in that culture. So get to church on time. I mean, you think about our music team, man. They spend a lot of time rehearsing and preparing in order to lead you in worship. And so I want you to be a part of that. Whenever we start at 10 o'clock, I want you here. In fact, let me encourage you, even come early. Come at 9:30. We have a prayer team in the back room here that comes together at 9:30, and they pray for you. They pray for your needs. They pray for our country. They pray for our community. Listen, church, we are not going to have a growing church if we don't have people on their knees praying. It's not going to happen. And so it's important for us to have people on their knees praying. And I know there's a number of excuses out there. I know some of you have kids and things like that, and it's hard to get here. But also, I know that if it was a soccer game that they had to be there at 8 o'clock, that you have your kids there at 8 o'clock too, right? And so let's make it important. Let's make it a priority. But here's the point. Manage your time well. It's not just about productivity. It's about balance. There is a time to work hard. There is a time to rest. And there is a time to focus on projects, and there is a time to focus on people, and there is a time to focus on worship. Let me encourage you to be involved with that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Time is a gift from God. And God has given you sufficient time to accomplish everything that He has called you to do in your life. And God has given all of you sufficient time to do that, not just some of you. So that's our second principle here this morning. There is a time for everything, so manage your time well. But also, lastly, it says the days are evil, so be careful how you live. The days are evil, so be careful how you live. What are we to do? We're to live as wise, not as unwise. We are to live as wise, not as unwise. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, See then that you walk circumspectly. Now, what does that mean? It means accurately or diligently. Not as fools, but as wise. How do we do that? Redeeming the time. This is what we're to do. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. While living in a world surrounded by evil, it's essential that we remain in the center of God's will. And that includes numbering your days correctly and to manage your time well. It also means avoiding sinful, wasteful, and harmful decisions. Listen, it's one thing to misuse the time that God has given to you, but it's quite another thing to abuse God's good gift of time. There are evil days and temptations that abound all around us. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and so you need to watch out. You need to be careful. You need to be on guard. In Romans chapter 13, Paul goes through and he talks about a whole list of things that he says that we're not to do. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then in verse 11, he says, and do this. This is what you should be doing. Knowing the time, he says, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I mean, think about that. You go to bed at night, last night, and you wake up this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you then realize, hey, you know what? We are one day closer to that day of redemption. Isn't that something to get excited about? Isn't that something to get excited about? I mean, you got saved? Do you know Jesus? I mean, look, we go on holiday, and we got, you know, one day for our holiday, and we can hardly get to sleep at night because we're so excited about what's going to happen tomorrow when we get to start our holiday. This is the way it should be in the Christian life. Man, we're saved. We are redeemed. And our day of redemption draws nigh every time we go to bed and we wake up the next morning. It's getting closer. We should be excited about that. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. We need to be shining the light of Jesus, do we not? I mean, we have the beacon of hope that's coming up. This is what our goal is. We want to shine the light of Jesus Christ around us. And how do we do that? We do that through our good works. We don't put a cover over our candlelight. We uncover that so that by our good works we can glorify God, the scripture says. Let us walk properly as in the day. Not in robbery or drunkenness or not in lewdness or lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Ephesians also talks about the putting on and the putting off. And here he says, put off the works of darkness and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't put yourself in a position of temptation. These commands are for right living, and all were given in the context of time. The time that God has given to you is the time you have remaining. The days are evil, so be careful how you live. Live as wise, not as unwise, but also make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5:16 says that we the redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word redeeming there is an economic term. It means to purchase or to redeem. Carl Sandburg says, time is a coin of your life. It is the only coin that you have, and only you can determine how it will be spent. So be careful lest you let other people spend it for you. How true that is. And so, how do you redeem the time? How do you redeem the time? How do you make sure that you are spending the coin of your life wisely? Well, first of all, be sure to spend it with some family and friends. Be sure to spend time with family and friends. Parents, spend time with your children. I mean, I always hear people talk about how, man, those years go by so fast. And the reason why they say that is because it's true. It's true. Your children need you in their lives. I like what Dr. Anthony Whitman said about this. He says, children spell love, T-I-M-E. There's no better way to communicate your love to your child than to spend time with him or her. But secondly, we need to learn to live in the present. Don't waste time worrying about the future or regretting the past. You only have each moment as it comes, so make the most of each one of those moments. There's an old Family Circle comic that says, yesterday's the past, tomorrow's the future, but today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Receive every moment, every minute as a gift from God, and you will learn to live in the present. You can't change the past. You have no guarantees for the future of time here on earth. So learn to live in the present. The third thing is enjoy the good things that God has given to you on this planet while you can. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Now, for Christians, there is life beyond the grave. But the point here is that your time on earth is limited. You only have so much time for the things that God has called you to do here on earth. So make the most of every opportunity that God has given to you. But also understand the Lord's will. Understand the Lord's will. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How do you live carefully in these evil times? Live as wise, not as unwise. Make the most of every opportunity. And finally, understand the Lord's will for your life. And if you really want to make your time count, then you need to seek God's will on a daily basis. Get into the Word of God and study it on a daily basis. Pray and ask God for wisdom. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Every day, ask God to guide you in the paths that He has for you. Most of God's will is clearly laid out right here in the Scriptures. It's right here. This is our manual for living. Let me encourage you to get into it and study it. And listen, this is very important. Listen to me. God will never lead you to do anything that is contrary to His revealed will in His written word. We had a guy come into the office one time, and he says, Pastor, I'm going to divorce my wife. Why are you going to do that? Well, God told me to. Oh, really? How did you come to that conclusion? Well, you know, I was just praying, and God spoke to me, and God told me to divorce my wife. And I says, what's that based on? Has your wife been unfaithful? No. She's a great woman. But God told me that I need to divorce her. Here, let me say that again. God will never lead you to do anything that is contrary to His revealed will in His written word. We need to be cautious today. We've got people out there that are saying, well, God revealed them things that go against the Scriptures, that go against the Word of God. If God has a message for you and that message is contrary to the Bible, then I can promise you that it's not a message that came from God. Or at least not the God of the Bible. I don't know what God you're worshiping, but it ain't the same one. He will never tell you to do something that's contrary to His Word. But in the book of James, it talks about a person who says in James chapter 4, verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profits. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Oh, you can make plans. You can go and say, I've got work to do. I'm going to do this. He says, but hang on. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But what is your life? Notice how it's described. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. Have you ever sat there waiting on a cup of coffee, waiting on a cup of tea, and see that vapor that comes up and then it just disappears, goes? This is how it's describing your life. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Living carefully in evil times means you yield every action and every decision to the Lord's will. And then, of course, always leave room for God to change your plans. You probably heard the old saying, do you want to make God laugh? Just tell Him your plans. I told God my plans, and I assure you, it wasn't standing up here before you here today. But this was God's plan. I can't count the number of people that I've met in ministry who told God, oh, Lord, anything but that. Anything but ministry. Be careful when you tell God, never. God, I'll never do that. Okay, we'll see. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 said, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You can make all the plans you want. And I'm not suggesting that we don't make plans. That's not what I'm suggesting here. That is part of good time management. This is where you use the wisdom that God has given you in order to make plans. But understand that God can overrule and God can override your plans at any moment. He can send you a detour in your life. So let Him. Let Him. He knows better than you how to allocate your time efficiently. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And if He decides to move you someplace else, well, then go with it. Spend your time doing His will, because time is limited. Time is limited. Well, our time for this message and series has come to an end. So, how do you make your time count? Follow these three biblical principles we talked about. Your days are numbered, so number your days. Life is short compared to eternity. Make the most of every day. Secondly, there is a time for everything, so manage your time well. Use the wisdom God has entrusted to you and use your time efficiently. And then the days are evil, so be careful how you live. Stay in the center of God's will of your life. It's been said only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. How true that is. Time is a precious gift from God. Don't waste the time you have been given. Make your time count both now and for eternity. And before we move on here, I just feel like that I want to talk to those, especially those that may not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, or maybe you're unsure. Maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about here this morning. Well, this message is extremely important for you, and time is of the essence. You're not invincible. We've seen that demonstrated in our world this past week. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're not invincible. You are one breath, you are one heartbeat, you are one tragedy, you are one circumstances away from eternity. The choice that you make in this life will have an impact on your eternal destination. The first thing you need to do in order to make your life count is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, that's got to be priority. That's got to be number one. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died on the cross to pay for your sins, to offer you salvation so you can be reconciled to God once again. He desires for you to spend eternity with Him in heaven, not eternal damnation in hell. He wants you to spend eternity with Him. He's provided the way for you to do so. But the clock's ticking. The clock's ticking, and eventually time will run out. Make that wise choice to follow Jesus today. You only have one life to live. Let's make it count. Let's make it count. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for all that You've done for us. Thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the Scriptures, Lord. But Lord, as I even think about my own life, Lord, there are certain areas that, man, it's just so easy to squander time if we're not careful. Lord, help us to make our time count. Help us to realize that we're only here for a very short period of time. Our time is limited. And so, Lord, we want to use the time that You have given to us to the best of our abilities. And Lord, we want to glorify and honor You every step of the way. But Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be conscious of our frail lives here on earth, and I pray that we would live with a focus on eternity, not on the things here on earth, Lord. Help us to honor You with the gift of time that You have given to us, and help us to make it count. In Jesus' name we do pray.